بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئة أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له فمن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كانت بنو إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء كلما حلق نبي خلفه نبي وإنه لا نبي بعد ستكون خلفاء فيفترون Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not ashamed to praise Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We will stand on the highest mountain and bear witness, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, please know this. Whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided. And whomever Allah allows to be guided, I don't care if it's 10,000 or 10 million or billion, they will never be guided. Unless Allah guides them. I bear witness that there is nothing or no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partners, no associates. There is none like Him at all. And brothers and sisters, know this for a fact, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's messenger. No prophet, no messenger after him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his great family and his great companions. How blessed we were to have Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after the demise of the messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago, and then blessed to have Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and then Uthman and Ali. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless these great Sahaba. Brothers and sisters, I chose to discuss a verse in Al-Quran in the chapter entitled The Prophet, Anbiya. I think the 21st chapter of the Quran. Allah reminds us, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'abudun. Allah says, and He reminds all of us, that this ummah of yours is one ummah, and I am your Lord, so worship Me. Allah says this in Al-Quran. I chose today for a particular reason to share with you a tradition of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that's called Mutafakun alayhi. You can find it in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. sahih, authentic. And the Prophet said, and I quote, كانت بنو إسرائيل تصومهم الأنبياء كلما هلك نبي خلفه نبي وإنه لا نبي بعدي ستكون خلفاء فيقصرون. The children of Israel were led by prophets. And whenever a prophet died, another prophet succeeded them. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, to be led by a prophet? To know that the one that you follow is guiding us from Quran. But the prophet said, La nabiyya ba'di, but there is no prophet after me. No more messenger, no more prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La nabiyya ba'di. Fatakunu khulafa. But there will be khalifas. Fayakthuruna. And they will increase. One of the saddest times in the history of Islam, I believe, was 1924. Sad year for Muslims. Because this man, Kemal Mustafa, known as Ataturk, separated church from state, or the religion from politics, and destroyed the Khilafat. No more Khalifa. The Prophet didn't say that he would leave presidents after him, or kings, or prime ministers, or premiers. He says Khalifa. Don't ever sleep this term. Khalifa. And Ataturk, so-called Ataturk, father of the Turks, he destroyed the Khalifa with the help of the West. Brothers and sisters, believe me, if Muslims had a Khalifa today, that man would be the most powerful person on this earth, and no one would be near him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. This ummah of yours is one ummah, and I am your Lord, so worship me. One ummah. Brothers and sisters, don't you know that there's no boundaries in the Islamic ummah? There's no boundaries. And can I tell you what is hurting this ummah? The same thing that hurt us in 1924. And that is the rise of nationalism. Arab nationalism. African nationalism. Indian nationalism. Rather than the recognition that this is one ummah. Brothers and sisters, what I wanted to do today is to share with you something that happened in history. My greatest desire right now is the establishment of the Khalifa. Yes. This is critical for the Islamic movement to establish the Khalifa again. And I'm asking you, think about it. Do you want the Khalifa established? If you do, what price are you willing to pay to establish it? You see, brothers and sisters, when you say you want a Khalifa, you're not saying that you just want a leader. You want a special leader that's going to guide and judge the people by the book of Allah, Al-Quran, and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know something? Most people don't know how to choose leaders. We think if a leader speaks well, give a good speech, and charismatic, that makes them a good leader. Not necessarily so. I want to share something that happened during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last days of his life. He was sick. He was ill. He was dying. And he appointed Abu Bakr, told someone to tell Abu Bakr to lead the salat. And his own daughter, Abu Bakr's daughter, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to her husband, the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, don't let him lead the salat. Choose someone else. Because Abu Bakr, he's too tender hearted. And if he leads the salat, he's going to weep and cry a lot. And the people may not be able to understand him. Now, brothers and sisters, maybe if you study the history of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was a very tender man. And when you compare him to Umar ibn al-Khattab, you have night and day. Because Umar radiallahu anhu, he was such a strong man and very harsh. And Abu Bakr was the opposite of him. Real, tender, soft. Here's something. I read something in Hadith that made me understand things better. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I've said this Hadith so many times, I love it because it keeps us focused. He says, خَيْرُ أُمَّةِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of my ummah is my generation. Never forget that. The critical point. And then the generation that follows it, and then the generation that follows it. Think, brothers and sisters, who became the first Khalifa after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was Abu Bakr. After Abu Bakr became Umar. Why? Did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to the people, when I die, make Abu Bakr the Khalifa? No. You could say he hinted it. He had Abu Bakr lead the prayer. But he never said, let Abu Bakr be the Khalifa. And there's much evidence in Hadith. I'll give you one. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, he died because he was only a man. Think. The one that, the strongest, Umar ibn Khattab, he said, Wallahi ma mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I swear by Allah, Muhammad is not dead. Recorded in history. This is a classical case of denial. The Prophet dead. And Umar had his sword ready to fight someone who would declare that Muhammad is dead. But can you imagine, brothers and sisters, the great leader, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who led us and developed and grew the Ummah for those 23 years? With divine revelation, to think now that he's dead in the home of his wife Aisha with his head on her lap, the Prophet is dead. And the people, they couldn't believe it, and they were gathering around, they were confused. And Umar ibn Khattab said, Wallahi ma mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I swear by Allah, he's not dead. But the tender hearted one, the soft one that cries in the prayer. All he did was quote from Quran. وَمَا مُحَمِّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is only a messenger. And the messengers of Allah have died before you.
If he dies, or if he is killed even, would you then turn back on your heel?
And he gave an eloquent speech, and then the people accepted the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know something, brothers and sisters? You talk about crisis in leadership. This mayor, Giuliani, whom I have no respect for, he comes and immediately in his administration, he has crisis.
But think about Abu Bakr. Even before he became Khalifa, he had a crisis.
The death of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he stood up and recited some Quran, and then Umar became calm, then the people became calm and accepted. And Umar said it was this, as if that revelation just came down. But this is the man, Abu Bakr.
But it didn't stop there. The people from the Ansar begin to gather, talking about now who's going to be the leader. No prophet, this is not Bani Israel. There's no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Khalifa for the whole Ummah. Who's going to be the Khalifa now? Who's going to be the boss? Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be in charge? That's the question everybody wants to know. Who's in charge?
So the Ansar gathered together. And then comes Umar and Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhum, and another Sahaba. And so they wanted to know who should be the Amir, the Khalifa. Listen to what the Ansar said. They said,
Amiru minna wa amiru minkum.
There'll be one Amir from us, and one for you, from you. Prophet is gone. No prophets after him. Who's going to be the Khalifa? He said there's going to be Khalifas after him. Who's going to be the Khalifa? Who will it be? I stop now, brothers and sisters, and ask you this question. Do you really want a Khalifa? How will you choose him? What if the Khalifa today is from Sudan, whose skin is black? Can you accept a Khalifa from Sudan whose skin is black?
What if the Khalifa is from Turkey, whose skin is white? Or Bosnia, whose skin is white? How will you feel, brother, if our Khalifa is a Muslim white? Or we want to choose a Khalifa from Pakistan? Will you as an Arab say, no, our Khalifa must be an Arab? Our Khalifa must be an Indian? Our Khalifa must be a black man? Our Khalifa must be a white man?
If you're Muslim, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter at all. If you're Muslim. But if you have in your heart, I can't follow him because he's black. I can't follow him because he's white. I can't follow him because he's Arab. I can't follow him because he's Indian. Then you miss the mark. And you still have a disease in your heart. So then Abu Bakr, he speaks eloquently. And then he convinces them who should be the Khalifa. He didn't say, make me your leader. He says, Umar ibn al-Khattab, make him be the Khalifa. Al-Jurrah, let him be the Khalifa. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab went and took the hand of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, and made him the Khalifa. And the people took bay'ah. And then Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. Two crises in leadership even before he became leader. You are going to have crises in your marriage. Crises as a parent. Your children are thinking about going outside of Islam. How will you handle the crisis? You have it. If your children are young now, wait until they get a little older. If you don't believe me, ask the brothers who've been around a long time who have Muslims, teenage children. You know, brothers and sisters, it didn't end there.
Immediately after the death of the prophet, some of the tribes now saying, we're not paying no zakat anymore.
And Abu Bakr,
now, soft, Abu Bakr, tender-hearted, took the sword and said, I will fight with those who make a distinction between zakat and salat. You pay, you will pay the zakat. And even Umar ibn Khattab, the harsh one, the rough one, the one who always had a sword out, said, wait a minute.
Then Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu convinced Umar that we had to fight against those who would even hold a string from paying zakat. This is the soft one. Umar, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So brothers and sisters, I close with this. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا نبي بعدي ستكون خلفاء فيخسرون. There'll be no prophet after me. Don't look for a prophet. But there are many caliphs. Brothers and sisters, we want our khalifa. We want our leader of the Muslim Ummah. And you know what? Put it in your heart first, and then let us commit ourselves to bringing about. If we bring it about, inshallah, you will see a change in this earth when we have one leader. Remember, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. This ummah of yours is one ummah. I am your Lord, Allah, so worship me. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave you with some information. As you know, we had the tragic death of our Imam Al-Amin Abdul Latif's son, Shu'aib. He died 2 weeks ago. He had his janazah last week. And we have announced to the city and to the world that we intend to get justice. Brothers and sisters, try your best whenever something happens to see the hand of Allah working. We can't see Allah, but we can see His work in the world. The death of Shu'aib is no accident. It's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got to remember that. Allah allowed it to happen for a reason. If you're a Muslim, if you're a believer, then everything that happens, you try to see the good in it, because there's good in it for us, if you will see now. Lately, you've been hearing many imams in the public eye, including myself, Imam Al-Amin Abdul Latif, other imams, publicly. You're going to hear more and more, inshallah. Allah is emerging us now in the public eye, even though we may not want it. But if you study history, there are events that usually start movements. And believe me, if you're wise enough to see it, the death of Shu'aib, the son of Imam Al-Amin Abdul Latif, can start a massive movement in this city where Muslims can give unprecedented da'wah. Inshallah, I'm inviting every Muslim here, and we will be inviting the city. Next week, I think the 5th of February, Saturday, at 1 o'clock, for a massive rally right down the street at Masjid Mufti Khalifa, the same place where Brother Shu'aib had his janazah funeral. We expect some 5,000 people there. Leadership from all over the country and all over the city have contacted us. They want to be involved. They want to see what the Muslims will do. We met here in this masjid last night, imams around the city. We met last week. Doing what? Planning to get justice for our brother, Shu'aib, and at the same time, bring a message of Dawah to this city. Brothers and sisters, there's something that we're planning right now that will absolutely shake up the city and inshallah will give us an opportunity to give Dawah to millions of people in New York City and around the country. We need your support. We want you to come out and bring everybody you know and try to pack up that place there. Masjid Muqsi Khalifa, next Saturday, February 5th at 1 o'clock. There'll be a lot of people there from all over, many leaders from all over. Because you know what? It's in the heart of these people. They want to see justice done. They feel like the rest of us that this young boy, Shuaib, 17 years old, was murdered. And we intend to do something about it, inshallah. So brothers and sisters, I want to leave you with this thought. The Khalifa, Abu Bakr. How did he become Khalifa? Umar, Uthman, Ali. How did they become Khalifa? Did they study the book, the manual? How to be Khalifa, how to be Imam? How to be Amir? How to be Amir al-Mu'mineen? No. I like to quote something from Ali radiallahu anhu and then conclude my talk today, inshallah. Ali radiallahu anhu, when Umar was dying, said, you know what? I used to always hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. Zahabtu ana and Abu Bakr and Umar, we went there. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar, we entered there. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar, we left there. How did he learn to become Khalifa? He learned by learning from the Master himself. From learning from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. He learned how to be the leader from watching the leader. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Say, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah told Prophet Muhammad to say, O people, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Allah is forgiven and merciful. Do you know what, when that verse was revealed? Some of the Sahaba literally would try to follow the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet walked, they try to walk right behind him. Because they wanted to be like him. Brother, listen to me. You want to know how to be a man, a real man? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the example of manhood. No one else. Not me, nor the charismatic person or personality. It is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the relationship. These are real sahaba. Look at his sahaba, the ones that he hung out with. Abu Bakr, his best friend. He becomes the Khalifa. Umar, the next best friend. He becomes Khalifa. And look, Prophet Muhammad marries the daughter of Abu Bakr, Aisha radiallahu anha. Prophet Muhammad marries the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Hafsa radiallahu anha. Uthman marries two daughters of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali marries the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tied in, friends and sahaba. We're not friends, we're not sahaba. Our relationships are superficial. Real friends hang out together.
Real friends visit each other. Real friends have the best of each other. Real friends don't backbite each other. Real friends love one another. They hang out with one another. But we don't hang out together because we're too involved in Junior. How can you hang out with your brother and you spend 8 hours watching some silly TV set? But when you study these Sahaba, they were with one another. So therefore, the Prophet being around Umar and around Abu Bakr and around Uthman and around Ali, his character fell on them. And they learned from his character. They learned how to eat, how the Prophet ate, how the Prophet made wudu, how the Prophet went to the bathroom. They learned everything because they were around the Prophet. They were with him and they observed him. You become a leader by following a leader. And they became Khalifa because they followed in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know how far they followed him? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died at the age of 63. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa. He died at the age of 63. Umar became the Khalifa. He died at the age of 63. They don't get old and say, I'm tired, I'm going to retire. Like some of us getting tired. You're 45 years old, you're tired. You want to stop, you want to quit, you want to walk away. But they didn't walk away. They died on the post, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they fought. And they did everything they're supposed to do as leadership. No more prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Khalifa. I say to you, brothers and sisters, as I close, I leave you with this. The Muslims in America, inshallah, will play a pivotal role in helping to establish the Khalifa again. We want it, inshallah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We beg Allah. We don't want division. We are on the same team. I don't want to be different from my Muslim brothers and sisters at Masjid Muqti Khalifa. I don't want to be different from the Muslims in State Street and Warren Street and Masjid North and Masjid this and that. Masjid Ikhwa, Masjid Mu'mineen, Masjid in East Orange, Masjid in New Jersey. This is one ummah. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. One ummah. So if we want ummah, let's put our ranks together. This New York City Majlis Shura, 41 different imams. You should say, Imam, we want more. We want all the imams to work together. And we know what we want? We want to choose an Amir for America. One leader for the Muslims in America. And then if we get one leader for the Muslims in America, then we can go around the world and unite the leadership under one Khalifa. This is our dream, brothers and sisters. This masjid here, Masjid al-Taqwa, don't misunderstand it. We're not separate from anyone else. We're not better than anyone else. I'm the Imam. I'm not better than anyone else. I'm not a Khalifa. I'm your brother. Trying to get us so that we can be part of the Ummah. But then these separate organizations, then they become separate. My masjid, my organization, my Imam. And then the Ummah is separated. One day, inshallah, Allah will get rid of all of us. Little people that stand in the way of our collective unity. And bring one Khalifa. This is what we want. This is our prayer. Brothers and sisters, please help us. Please. I'm just your brother. A little brother. Don't use me to separate me from my Muslim fellow imams. I love all of them. Even those who criticize us. Those who criticize us without even speaking to us. I realize that we're on the same team. I give them the benefit of the doubt. But my door is open. I try to keep my door open even for non-Muslims so that we can give dawah and have dialogue. Why can't we have dialogue, each other as Muslims, and especially Muslim leadership? So brothers and sisters, take the word back to these imams that we don't think that the Majlis Shura, we're better and we represent all the Muslims in America. We don't.
We just represent a handful of Muslims in America and trying to do our little bit, our little part. I was with Imam Talib last night as I conclude. About 1 o'clock in the morning, we had finished our meeting. We were sitting down talking. And he said, you know, Imam, years ago, my Imam put on the wall of his door to his office, "We don't mean anyone any harm." And I said, you know what? We don't mean to harm Muslims. But guess what? If Umar radiallahu anhu could say, "Wallahi, man mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah, Prophet Muhammad is not dead." If he can make mistakes, and Sahabas can make some mistakes, then don't you know we can make mistakes? But how do we do when your brother makes a mistake? Don't kill him, but help to correct each other. You know why? Because we're on the same team. And some imams, like myself, have much exposure. So if you can correct a brother like me, it's good, because we can take it out to so many people. And the key, brothers and sisters, as I said last week, don't judge each other's intentions. Judge what we say, judge what we do. Try to help each other. And brothers and sisters, have the best attitude toward one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us. Help us to unite. Help the Muslims in this city to unite together for the pleasure of Allah. Help the Muslims all over the world to unite together for the pleasure of Allah under one ummah. Oh Allah, we know that your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have left after us no prophets, but only khalifas. Oh Allah, we know that we have nationalism all over this earth. Help us, the Muslims, get rid of nationalism. Help us, oh Allah, to establish the khalifa for your pleasure. Oh Allah, strengthen the hearts of the Muslims. Make us disciplined. Make us morally right. Oh Allah, clean us up and guide us on Surat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, make us to be sincere. Help us in our family affairs. Oh Allah, we the Muslims, we suffer so much. We need your guidance. Help us. Help us to love the guidance of Al-Quran, and help us to love the Sunnah of your Muhammad, your Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواج محمد وعلى ذريات محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.